get off the ride. Shout when you wanna get off the ride. Shout when you wanna get off the ride. Cause it crossed my mind, crossed my mind. Make my blood thump 7, 8, 9. Make my heart beat double time. Now I'm the only sour cherry on the fruit stand. Right, I'm the only sour cherry on the fruit stand.
Hey everybody, welcome back. Guess what? We are here again to entertain you forever and ever and ever. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
You guys are listening to Carolyn Joe Show! Hey, Carolyn.
Oh my God.
How you doing?
I can't hear anymore.
I'm just so excited, you know? I'm just so pumped up about today's show.
I'm pumped too. We have a special guest in person in the studio, Camille Richardson.
Hey,
welcome
Camille.
Welcome to the show.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
This is the first podcast you've ever been on.
This is true.
For some reason, I find that to be, like, unbelievable. I don't know why. Like, I feel like whenever I've met you and I've talked to you, I'm like, this girl has to be on, like, a podcast, you know?
She's got stuff to say.
She has, like, feels like you've had, like, your, like,
I can never
history.
Shut up.
That's, but you're, like, you're so valiant about, like, all, like, the opinions you have about, like, anything from Marvel. Because you work, I feel like you pretty much run the comic book store. You run the Amazing Comic Shop for...
Myself and my team. So
yeah.
If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be able to do what I do.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a lot of work for sure.
But do you think, see, that's the part where I'm like, I thought, for some reason, I always thought that you always had, like, you've been on, like, it felt like you've already been on multiple shows. That's why you're able to spit fire when it comes down to it.
I've done some, like, the cable access stuff, but never podcasts.
Ooh, you cable, what is, wait, so, like, as in, like.
Like the Fantastic Forum?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I never got a chance to see those. Were those pretty, were you like, oh, yeah, like. Like, what would you really talk about there? Comics?
Yeah, comics. Everything to do with, like, gender and race stuff involved with comics and relatable with, like, movies and that kind of thing.
Cool. So you're, like, ready. You have bullets ready to, to fly.
Yeah. I mean, I talk about this stuff every day, so there is that.
And we've had Ulysses on the show, maybe in that very same chair that you're sitting in.
Most likely.
That's a big chair to fill.
Everyone who's ever been on this show has sat in that chair.
We should, you know what we should do?
Have them sign the chair.
Yeah. I haven't thought about that, but I know people do that. They're like, I'm here, you know?
Why not?
We need to have some type of special guest signature thing.
Then, like, they just start signing. I guess then we can't use that chair for anything other than this. I'm totally cool with that.
Or maybe there's something else they can sign, like a whole wall or something.
A whole entire wall. I would love
that.
Get some spray paint or like chalkboard. We'll see. I'll have to think about that since this is a fresh idea.
But Camille, just so you know, right now, here's a segment that's called the Carolyn's News. Feel free to ask any questions when it happens.
Yeah, you can chime in. This coming Saturday, you guys, it's almost here. August 15th is this Saturday. And we're going to have a closing reception for the cartoon show at Politics and Prose Coffee Shop from 7 to 9 p.m. And at the reception, we'll be serving wine, lemonade, iced tea, fruit, vegetables, cheese, hummus, and more.
I love that we're still listing what's going to be served at
because,
the show.
Because, you know what? How else are people going to come?
Come for the food.
There's food and drink. I mean, come on.
Come for the food, stay for the comics. And all the cartoonists are going to be there. You can meet them in person. It's going to be great. So come on down to the cartoons closing reception at Politics and Prose Bookstore, which is, you know, if you haven't been to Politics and Prose before, it's awesome.
Have you been there, Camille?
It's in D.C.
I've never been there.
Oh, the D.C.? You never been to D.C.?
I've been to D.C. I hate driving in D.C.
Well, the address is 5015 Connecticut Avenue Northwest. It's an amazing bookstore. Like, it's just so awesome to go in. It feels special to be in the bookstore. And they have a lot of really popular, mostly, I guess, a lot of politicians, because obviously it's D.C., mm-hmm. but they do have also several authors coming through, like Michelle Obama went through there, or the guy from The Office that wrote the book that has no words.
Which guy's that?
the guy that I guess was like hooking up with Mindy.
BJ Novak?
Yeah, BJ Novak was there. Like,
BJ Novak was there?
Yeah,
you remember BJ Novak?
Mm-mm.
No? Did you ever watch The Office?
I did. Who did he play?
The temp?
And then he kind of graduated up to kind of dating Kelly.
He was like the guy in the
back. Was it later on?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't stay that long.
Okay. Well, anyway, that guy, who's also in Inglourious Bastards.
Oh, shit.
He's been there. Like, a whole bunch of people. It's not just those two. Those are the two that I remember. Like, I met Roz Chast there. Like, there's so many people that come in and out.
Really, she's saying is that it's a big deal.
It's a big deal. It's like the awesomest bookstore in D.C. That's, like, homegrown. You know, it's not, like, cool. A corporate big thing.
And it's next to an amazing pizza place.
And, yeah, they have a...
See, you should have just said pizza. Yeah,
that's all we have to say is pizza.
That's all you need to say. Yeah.
Or you could have just said cartoons are on the wall in the basement at the coffee shop there. Because you guys got to come on down. Hey, maybe we'll go get pizza later. We'll see. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be amazing. And I've already sold a piece to a woman that lives in Beijing.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we're going global. So what can I say? But yeah, it is pretty awesome to like say that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's amazing. So I hope you all can come on out. That's the big news for the week. I'm excited.
So... Are you say you don't like driving in DC?
Hell no.
Why is that? Do you like driving in general? Did it ruin it?
I used to love driving until I was commuting to Maryland at one point to Silver Spring from Fairfax for like 2 years and I wanted to shoot myself in the face.
What was that for, if you don't mind me asking?
I worked at a salon up in Maryland. I was taking care of my mother down here, and then at another point I was living up in Maryland, commuting down to Fairfax to an exotic animal clinic.
Wait. So at one point you're going from Fairfax to Maryland, then it reversed?
Yeah.
Wait, so you were...
It's just at different points in my life, depending on what was kind of happening, okay. That sort of thing.
Because you know what, that's sort of like for a lot of people, that's a traumatizing drive.
It is a very traumatizing drive, especially when you've got nervous system issues and you can't move in a car. Oh boy.
What do you mean you can't move in a car?
Well, when you're stuck in that position and like you're just moving your ankle on your right foot and that's all you're doing and you have chronic pain, it causes a lot of problems.
I totally understand
that. It's a royal pain in the ass.
I mean, like, how do you, like, I feel like for me, since I have to drive a lot too for like my work, I have my chair at a certain position. Hopefully that does not like fuck up my back, but it probably is. Is there a certain way that you sit in the car now, or
no? Because any position after about 20 minutes hurts. Doesn't matter what position it is. When you got fibromyalgia, everything hurts.
Also, the human body is not really supposed to be sitting. From studies I've read, it's like they said it's like a position where humans should be always standing. The way the body is made, apparently.
That's uncomfortable, too.
Yeah.
I just need to be able to sit 50% and, like, walk around 50%. Medium. Yeah, exactly.
Really, you just want to have, like, a belt that just lets you hover at this point.
Oh, my God. I just wish I was a cyborg. Seriously, at this point.
Like a 100% cyborg?
I want to keep some of my brain. But some of it I'm okay with giving up just because it doesn't always work right. So there's that.
That would be you could be like the first test subject for that. What would be the first part that you'd want to like replace to be like, okay.
Can you just replace your nervous system? I don't know if that would be an option.
Well, nervous system is what? That's like the nerves, right? Can you imagine?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, can you, imagine like replacing the nervous system.
I mean, that's like replacing like the different parts in your spine and your brain. I mean, that's huge.
I feel like.
But that would be the number one thing because that's what doesn't work right.
But you, like, I feel like if you're like, okay, can we just replace the nervous system? That seems like, I don't know, that seems like the one that's going to hurt the most to replace.
Yes.
How do you numb that?
I would go through insane pain just for that so that afterwards it wouldn't hurt as much.
What would they replace that with? Like, just like.
I don't know.
Circuitry? Liquid intelligence?
Liquid blood.
Nanotech?
Nanotech that merges with that?
Just don't make me an LMD, that's all I say.
So you worked at a salon. I didn't know that.
Yeah, for two years.
What'd you do at the salon?
I was a receptionist.
Okay. So you didn't really like get to have to like touch anybody's hair or anything like that?
No, but I definitely learned.
Did you sweep up hair?
Sometimes.
That seems like I feel like the beginning stages of like, I don't know.
But I definitely learned a lot because you're learning a lot from like, they still do classes for all of the stylists and everything and you get to sit in and you get to watch it. So you learn a ton about like product and how like, you know, what is actually good for your hair versus what's not.
That's cool.
Kind of like skincare versus like makeup.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's trying to be against the cosmetic side of it and trying to actually help it from the inside out.
Was that a career thing? You're like, I want to.
No, because of the fibro again, it was like, yeah, I get so tired doing my own hair and just blowing it out. Like, I have to take breaks all the time.
We have a lot of hair.
I can't do that to other people all the time. So I kind of was like, that's not going to be a career. It's just kind of like a transitioning period kind of thing.
Yeah. Was that something that you wanted to try to do?
No, I came actually out of the animal industry and...
Wait, what does that mean? You came out of the animal industry? What?
So I worked at an exotic animal clinic for 4 years. We saw everything from like avian, reptile, and small mammal.
When was that?
I was there for almost 4 years. That was almost 10 years ago at this point. And I really wanted to be involved with that, but unfortunately I got sick while I was doing that job. And just so many things that happened, and then switching to a different practice... Just dealing with things of like, is so-and-so going to make it? Is this incompetent doctor going to be able to help this animal? Things like that just brought on a lot of stress, which unfortunately turns into pain. So I had to get out of the industry just because it was doing too much detrimental things.
Because of the stress?
Yes.
Does this all just come down to your stress?
Yeah, because stress literally turns into pain for fibro people.
So if there's a way, I don't know, is there a way to remove stress? I don't have, is there, Carolyn, is there
it's
a
called marijuana, but I don't think that you can be on that everywhere.
I feel like in certain states
DC,
you can.
If you drive
DC
into
can.
DC.
Yeah.
But you have to be a resident.
Oh, okay.
You have to be a resident for a year before you can get anything from a doctor. So.
Now you got goals.
Basically, I went to the salon because I was like, what's the worst that can happen? Your hair fucking grows. You know, like, I can handle that.
Your hair fucking grows, dude. Yes.
Well, that's cool you worked with animals, though. I mean, I can tell you do have, like, a heart for the animal world.
Yeah, I actually just got back into activism after, like, kind of shying away from it for a long time. And I just became vegetarian as well.
How's that going for you? Like, how long have you been a vegetarian?
A little over 2 months.
Okay.
So it's very fresh, very new. I've always had issues with food in general, so, like, making this change has kind of been a big thing. But thankfully, because of my boyfriend, we've been finding different alternatives, which have been good.
Was he going to be a vegetarian too?
No, but he did switch over to more humane meat, if you will. Mm-hmm. But basically sourcing your food so it's not coming from factory farms.
Do you think technically, like mentally, you're going to be like, maybe I can just, we're just going to have, you're going to weed the meat out of it?
No, because I respect it and I understand and I'm not here to change anyone else. The only thing I want to do is maybe just educate yourself and understand where your food actually comes from.
Because this is what I've realized, because I feel like I've been eating less meat or red meat just in general over the years. And I don't know why, but I figured it out. Because I only want to have the best ones. Because I feel like when it is taken care of, it does taste better.
Really does.
So, and also, like, you know, you get rid of fast food and all that stuff because that's not really the... Really just eating
the
best.
You're maybe getting
really.
Some beef mixed into that? Maybe?
Yeah. Maybe.
Who
yeah.
knows what you're getting?
Beef-ish?
Yeah. But, I mean, I consider myself, like I always say, I'm an 80% vegetarian, but I don't want to, like, insult vegetarians because of it. But it's like, because it sounds like so lame. It's like, only 80%.
Especially when we're surrounded by so many vegetarians.
I'm actually probably over 80% now. It might be like 85% vegetarian. Which is really good. Like probably,
but still, lessening your meat still does make an impact.
It does.
And a lot of folks are like, why would I do this when it's like, it's not going to change how things work? And it's like, sure, it's not, one person isn't going to change the whole medium of it, but you're at least going to make an impact and you're going to have less killed because you decided not to eat.
Yeah. Because that's sort of the same as like, you know, recycling, you know, just like, or thinking more green or stuff like that, you know. One person might not like, you know, set like, not one person might not be like the whole entire domino effect, but
think
it could
about
be
how much you purchase as an individual in your lifetime.
Yeah.
Whether it be plastics and the recycling stuff, whether it be meat, whether it even be dairy, which is the damnedest thing to kick. Like, I don't know if I'll ever be able to kick dairy.
What do you mean? No. So are you trying to kick dairy?
Ideally, I would like to.
As in like no ice cream, no butter, no.
But my
cheese, cream,
my problem cheese. Is cheese.
Yeah.
Especially because I'm still not huge on all the plant stuff yet. And so I still revert to a lot of bread and cheese and pasta and that kind of stuff, which isn't great, but, you know, baby steps. But cheese is just, it's not any better
Does it
than
taste
eating
good?
Meat.
Does
oh, it tastes fucking fantastic. That's the problem. I mean, pizza. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I can't quit pizza.
Do you
but
know what? No one can
the
quit
one
pizza.
Thing.
There's no quitting pizza.
I want to at least try the vegan cheese, like, just try it to see if it's possible.
Have you had it?
I have not yet.
I mean, how could it taste I mean, what do you think it tastes like?
I don't know. Not cheese.
Probably not as good.
I've been tasting other like meat alternatives, for example. Like hot dogs, they were so close but not close that I just couldn't do it.
What do you mean?
But the Italian sausages, those were amazing. And you throw them into pasta, they're fantastic. But the hot dogs, for whatever reason, they're so close, rubbery. But they're not.
Were you a hot dog fan in general before that?
So
because that's not really the...
Well, if you really think about what hot dogs are made of, it's disgusting.
It is.
Yeah.
So I shouldn't be, like, all grossed out by some fucking soy log thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's weird to me. It just is. And I'm trying to, like, let that go. But I think I just need to find things that are more mixed up with other types of flavors and stuff like that. Like the Italian sausages, if you cut those up and throw them into a pasta, they taste fantastic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's not meat. And then you can get like the crumble stuff.
Yeah.
The ground crumble stuff, and you can make burrito bowls. Just get some barbacoa sauce and there you go.
I think that's actually the key is sauce.
Yes.
I think that's the key to your new lifestyle is you gotta be like the really queen is. Of the sauce.
It's that and now I eat a lot of nuts for protein.
Well,
so.
Nuts are amazing.
Nuts. It's like iZombie. You just got a sriracha.
I only saw the first two episodes and I did not read the series.
But you know the idea. Just put hot sauce in the brain or whatever. That's all you gotta do.
You gotta disguise it.
Exactly.
But what other types of meals are you enjoying being vegetarian?
Or not enjoying being a vegetarian?
Well, the thing is, like, I still eat eggs. I have no issue with eggs as long as they're sourced. So, like, you can't just buy cage-free. Because even though if it says cage-free, they're still living in horrendous situations.
Yeah, aren't they, like, packed like sardines? Like, basically. They can't even walk, and then they're all fat, and they're just like...
Exactly. So,
well, that's what they're bred for,
making the
right?
eggs.
There's no way for anybody
to
live.
Yeah, but they can't... But
they can't even stand.
Some of the chickens can't stand.
No, they're so
fat and big, they're just like...
Because they give them so many hormones to become a full-sized chicken, but larger, like a Hulk-sized chicken, within like 4 months when that should normally take like, 6 months or something crazy? I'm not 100% on those stats, so don't quote me there.
But visualize that.
But you get the idea is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But if you go and you find humane certified, which is a big deal for eggs... I mean, these are chickens that actually get to go roost. They get to have dust baths. They get to run around on a pasture kind of a situation. And birds are going to have eggs anyway.
Yeah.
So I have no problem eating them as long as they are treated humanely and they actually have a life.
Yeah.
And do they taste better if they do?
Eggs, I don't know. But beef, yes. Absolutely. Because I was doing the humane meat before I switched over to being vegetarian. And I'll tell you, the two things I miss most about meat is fucking Hamburger Helper of all fucking things and hot dogs. The rest I can like live without for
it's
the
like
rest
the worst of
my life.
Of the meats.
All right.
It really is.
But
so,
that's what you like.
It
you know
really
you gotta
is.
Like what you like.
Oh, well, let's get to the thick of it then. Like how was your diet before even you went into this vegetarian? Like from way back, do you think you ate well? Like as in like a kid?
No,
next?
Because that all goes into why I'm sick. Growing
was
up.
Was that more Hamburger Helper or was it just like junk food all
no,
the time?
No. I don't want to bring a... basically, when I grew up, I had to scavenge for food.
Like in the woods?
Like in the house.
Oh, okay.
I grew up with my grandparents, and this really wasn't their fault because they were dealing with my biological mother's problems, and she's a royal cunt, and I'll just say that flat out.
All right.
But basically, they kind of ruined their lives, too, so they didn't have the attention necessary to take care of two children at, like, 60 years old. But because of that, they were huge hoarders. And there'd be times, like, I remember in second grade, I went to school and I had ants all infested in my lunch bag.
Ah!
Oh, no.
I'd have rotten food all the time or, like, sour milk or stuff like that. So then I got this terrible idea, like, seriously, ingrained for 2 decades that processed foods were good food and they were okay because they wouldn't go bad. Like everything else.
As in what? What were you having? Like a processed?
Like Cheetos.
Lunchables or you know, lots of
bread. Anything that's in a box.
Anything that was new.
I mean,
that
you gotta think about it. Those commercials look pretty great on the TV.
Well,
that's the brainwashing.
It is the brainwashing, 100%. But because of that, that hurt me immensely. And it hurt my nutrition and hurt a lot of the reasons why I'm sick the way I am today. But before like becoming vegetarian, honestly, because of my boyfriend, he got me eating vegetables. He got me eating chicken. He got me
like
eating
actual legit vegetables.
Yeah,
like real food.
I'd only been eating like some vegetables for maybe like 3 years before him.
Uh-huh.
Like maybe. So this is so far-fetched for me. And now that I've gone vegetarian, like I honestly can't believe I've done it. It's such a huge step. And I'm slowly trying to find other alternatives. But it's like, I got to do this in baby steps so I don't also hurt my health as well.
Yeah. It's got to be like a lifestyle thing. You know?
Yeah.
You just got to be... You just
gradual change.
And the thing is, I just got to the point, and I'm not going to change my boyfriend for this because, I mean, at least he's sourcing his food. But I just got to the point where I was eating a hamburger and looking at my dog and like, what the fuck is the difference? Like, I don't know.
That's really what it starts happening. Mm-hmm. That's legit how, like, when you start having the visions. That's what you're having the visions.
And if you actually force yourself to watch, like, it was Food Inc. that really hit me.
Oh, yeah.
And I was
Food
like,
Inc.?
I just,
wait, what's that?
It's a documentary
based off of a book that goes into what truly our food, where our food is coming from and how it works and who's in control. About 98% of all the food in the United States comes from factory farms. It's really bad.
What is that? That's capitalism. It's a precise section.
I mean, it is.
Yeah,
but
because you got Monsanto, who basically owns so much of it, and they fuck the farmers.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. The farmers don't even want to be a part of this. They don't want to do this to these animals. They don't want shit sprayed on the crops and everything, but they have to because...
What are they going
to
do?
They have... Well, they basically would lose their entire contract and lose everything.
Exactly.
And so it fucks people's lives, ruins families' lives, and it ruins so many things just down the domino effect. It's awful.
What's the... I mean, like, so when you were started, when you were younger... So really just processed food, for how long was that? Because you said vegetables, is that just really a recent thing? Like a recent like
100%
era? Just like
100%. It's awful.
That sounds like a Jonah Hill story.
How are you on fish?
That's another story.
You don't like fish? No fish? Well,
so I was in Girl Scouts.
You're in Girl... What, are Girl Scouts against fish?
Yes, I think so.
Are they really?
Something. Because we went on a trip. I was maybe like... Before I saw Star Wars, so I was probably like 8 or 9. And
I like how
that was like an event in your timeline.
It was.
That's
seriously
legit.
Seriously was. It changed my life. But I think I was like 8 or 9, and I was in Girl Scouts, and we went out to some like somewhere in Delaware. We went to a beach, and basically they were taking us to like these picnic tables, and in front of each person there was a giant like probably 9-inch fish just sitting there dead. And they're like, okay, let's go ahead and paint it, and then you're gonna put the imprint onto
the
tarp.
Hell is that?
I was like, why would we just fucking paint dead rabbits and throw them against the wall for art? Like, what shit is this?
Wait,
no, that's a
Carolyn,
that actually,
is that what they do?
Say, yes,
is that what they
that
do in Girl Scouts?
I don't know. I never did it in Girl Scouts, but I have done it before.
They deface the dead?
Let me
say
something. It is a print making skill to do that.
I did
like,
see that.
I
that's
get
really
it. I just, at 7 or 8 years old or 9, whatever the hell I was, it just like, it ruined me and I started crying.
Aww.
And they yelled at me. They yelled at me saying I wouldn't get my badge. And it was just like, what the shit is wrong with you people?
You wouldn't get your badge.
And so ever since I've been weird with fish, and like I worked at Petco before I got into like the vet stuff. And like I would freak out working in aquatics if one of the fish fell out of the tank and then you had to pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Like, I'm a lot better now. Like, I'm actually willing to try fish, but, like, my boyfriend doesn't know how to cook it. I don't know how to cook it. We need to learn.
Yeah.
I think his sister knows, so.
I've been eating a lot of salmon. Like, it's supposedly, like, one of the top foods that you can eat for your body. So, I feel like that's acceptable. And I guess you gotta check out, like, how it was
and, like,
raised
and I wanna
and all
try
that.
At this point. Like, at this point, I'm much more willing to try, but then I'm also a dipshit in my head thinking, well, where is it coming from? It's a whole new,
well, actually,
like...
if you were gonna eat fish, I suggest salmon, probably, like, just for health reasons.
Yeah.
Like, out of all of them, it's the most nutritional for you. Like, tilapia is also good, and it doesn't have, like, as much of a fishy taste, but you don't have as much nutritional value.
Oh, but it tastes so good. It's like, it's like eating a cloud.
It tastes good. I mean,
cloud.
Yeah.
It's hard to top
that's
salmon.
A marshmallow.
Like something like salmon or spinach. Those are probably like two of the best, or blueberries even. Those are like three of the best things that you can eat.
That,
like,
makes sense.
So stuff like that. It's like if you're ranking salmon that high, I feel like I make, you know, that exception to try it at least. But
I want to because I don't mind as much eating fish as I do.
But would
like,
that still be
mammals.
In the? Would that still? You know, technically make you still... Is there a vegetarian rules against fish
or
what?
Pescatarian.
Yeah, pescatarian.
It sounds like a religion.
I'd be okay with that if it was
I
like...
I pray for the fish.
Like maybe once a week or something, not like all the time.
Hell
and
yeah.
If it's sourced okay, like I'd be totally fine with that.
I mean, really...
That's
the
thing. Because even with meat, when you really truly think about it, think about evolution, look at our teeth. We are omnivores. We were meant to eat both meat and vegetables. However, because of what we have done to animals, that's why I've decided to opt out.
You ever go to like a rodeo or a ranch where you had to like meet a cowboy? Or not had to, but you can meet like a cowboy who talks about like back in the day, like on the Wild West times?
I have not. Have you?
Yeah. And you know, they would, you know, they would bring up like objects, like this is what we use to cook our food. This is our toothbrush, and then they would bring out the toothbrush, and it's just like a piece of wood that's like carved like a little knife, and they just like scrape off their teeth, and they're like, this is what we use. This is all we really needed, because back in the day, we didn't have all the sugars and the processed food that would ruin our teeth. And I was like, wow.
Well, I mean, I grew up with my grandparents, so that was kind of a
like Wild West.
Well, just an opening into like the way things used to be, like, kind of a deal.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
So did they? So they hoarded a lot.
They did.
What causes? What causes that? Just to be like, I can't throw anything away.
I think it's a lot of trauma that happens. Now I call them my parents, because they raised me from birth.
But whatever you want to call them.
But my dad, he was a POW in World War II. He got shot down after just like 2 months after the invasion of Normandy, and he fell somewhere over in northern France, and he had everything taken from him. He eventually got out, but it was like at the evacuation, and he had to evacuate 300 miles on foot, but something like that. And then you have a terrible person like my biological mother, who has drug problems and would steal from them all the time, and steal like his World War II pistol, steal those things that like you just don't fucking touch.
Yeah.
And she did that. And I think in doing that and all the trauma they had with her,
they want to, like, keep everything that they can get their hands on.
Yeah, and then my mom had like
I can see that.
Retail therapy issues. So, like, between her buying and my dad not wanting to let anything go, like, it made sense.
Yeah.
And it was just very unfortunate, because it wasn't their fault. Like, it just, they were shit on royally.
Yeah.
Royally.
Was there a certain point where you started to realize, hey, why do we have all this stuff?
since I was itty bitty, because I would walk through the house, stub my toe, hurt myself, couldn't invite people over ever.
Really?
Couldn't do anything
ever. So there was no sleepovers, there's no like, hey.
Nothing. And I wasn't allowed to hang with other people for a very, very long time.
What?
They tried to isolate me and shield me from what they thought was going to happen to me, just like my biological mother.
Oh, I mean.
Which, looking back, I get it. It sucked like hell growing up in it, but. You know, hindsight's 20/20, and then you realize, you know, what they were actually going through.
Yeah.
So I've developed a great deal of empathy over them. But for the hoarding, like, they died 3 years ago, and we had to clean out the house.
Oh, no.
And now they just have a one-story ranch house. It took 5 industrial-sized dumpsters to clean out the entire house.
Was this just by yourself?
No.
Did you have a team?
It was a team. It was a very, very rough time. And then, of course, with my fibro and having to commute to Maryland, it made it very difficult to help as much as I would have liked, and I got scrutinized for it. So there's that.
But also, like, really to, like, commend you, too. Like, I mean, we've been to your place, and it looked it's gorgeous, you know, like, you and you have everything, like, in its place. You don't have, like, clutter on the floor.
It made me OCD as shit. But I never had a place to call my own that was, like, comfortable, that really gave you peace.
Yeah.
And if anything, your home should be your sanctuary.
Yeah.
And I never felt that. It always felt like chaos where I lived growing up. So it just, I finally have more of inner peace with having, like, my own space that I have complete control of.
That's awesome. Because also I've been to, like, other people's houses, and, like, they have, it's not as close as, like, a hoarding situation, but they just have, like, all their crap all over the floor.
Just dumped.
They have, like, credit cards, like, on the stairwell, and, like,
credit cards on the stairwell?
Yeah, like, and I'm like, what's your
How dare they?
It's just random objects that I'm, like, in my head, I'm like, shouldn't your credit card be in your wallet? You know, or
maybe
in a
that's
purse.
His home.
Yeah, I'm like, what are they using that for? And then like, I'll be back like a month later, and it's still there. Like, and then just like random like kids' toys everywhere. And like, I know, you know, sometimes it's hard to get kids to like clean up, but it shouldn't be on the stairwell. And like, it's in my head, I'm like, everything here just looks like an accident waiting to happen. there's just some houses that are like that. But I, you know, maybe everyone has their own reasons. But it's like, at least for me, it's like. I do have things on the floor. Like, I'm more of a stacker. Mm-hmm. I'm not a hoarder. I'm a stacker. But I'll have, like, little piles.
Yeah.
These names.
There's a distinction because it's, like, organized hoarding.
Well, I do that with, like, mail and, like, the mail area, you know? And it's, like, I got my pile of, like, oh, I'll deal with that later. Oh, crap, this is due. That's another pile. And then, like, the whatever pile.
Yeah.
So you have certain little
piles.
But they're organized piles.
Yeah. They're organized areas. But they're, I do think, like, you know, in general, it's good to have, like, some type of walkway at least.
Yeah.
And nothing on the stairs, because that's just crazy.
Well, also because, you know, we have two dogs and a cat, so it's like we have to keep things tidy because certain puppies decide to eat blankets the night before we move and make us drop $3,000 after we drop $4,000 that week. Thank you, Lucy.
I there must have been something about the blanket. There must have been. Was there food on it? Was there seasoning?
I honestly, and I hate this because it makes me feel so guilty, is that I don't know if she was feeding off of my stress for several months, because all the shit that went down with our company and work and like changing with ownership and so forth, not to mention computer systems that weren't trained right and just went to hell. And not to mention, I had a cane for about a third of the time for like 6 months. I had issues with my hip and trying to figure out what the hell was going on with me.
I remember that.
And I don't know if Lucy was just feeding off of my stress and she got nervous and decided to rip the shit out of a blanket and eat it or what. Or maybe she was feeding off of our other dog who's been new since November and she's never moved around with us. So I don't know. It irks me that I think it could be from me in a weird way.
I mean, that is a thing, because I do feel like energy is transferred in a way.
Extremely, especially through pets. And with Lucy, she's so, so connected, like deeply, more than any other pet, other than my parrot that I've ever had.
You had a parrot?
I did.
Oh, wow.
I love that. You must have had a
lot of, did you have a lot of pets?
At one time I had 9.
9 different
at
pets?
At a time. Oh, wow. That's a lot to take care of.
It was something, it was like, I had a dog, I had a cat, and this was all my responsibility, and this was also before I got sick. But I had a dog, I had a cat, I had a bearded dragon, I had...
What is a bearded dragon?
Back it up. I want
a lizard.
With a beard?
Well, what happens is that they can make their, almost like their throats expand.
That's awesome.
In a really cool way.
When do they do that emotionally?
Mating stuff, if they're angry, I think there's other things, but I've forgotten. It's been so long. but, you know, they'll bulge out like that, and that's kind of where they get the name Bearded Dragon.
That's so awesome.
But they're really cool. They're pretty docile, and they just look like little dinosaurs. They're so cool.
I love lizards.
And they're awesome to hang out with. I also had gerbils. I had 2 rabbits, so I think that was most of them.
Dang, it's like Camille's zoo.
And I took care of all... I mean, I don't know. They are therapy to me in so many ways, even before getting sick or anything like that. Like, you're never going to have an animal, well, unless it's a bird, yell at you or talk back to you.
Did your parrot talk? Or something.
He was a rainbow lory. They're not huge on, like, necessarily, like, human words. They're extremely vocal. They do a lot of mimicking. So, like, whistles, microwaves, telephones, anything like that, doors creaking, making creepy, weird-ass sounds when you're like, what the fuck?
That'd be like...
But he would say hi, he'd say hello, he'd say, what you doing?
Like, in a community, like, you'd have to talk to him back and forth, or just randomly?
Not quite. He had the intelligence of about a toddler. So he had equal intelligence to a toddler. Like, he could do things.
Some people don't go further than that. So.
Well, that's true. That's so goddamn true. But the connection with the bird is far different than you'll have with any other creature.
Like, would you leave, like, the bird would just stay, like, in its cage, or would you just have him
When I was at work, he would stay in his cage, but he had a huge cage.
How big?
He probably had, like, granted, he's my, 6 feet? 6 feet, yeah, right.
Six feet tall?
It's a raptor!
Holy crap!
He's taller than me!
Maybe a 6-inch bird, and you had maybe like a 3 to 4 foot wide cage with about 2 to 3 feet depth, and maybe like 5 feet, five is probably too much, so 3 to 4 feet high.
Okay.
So he had a good size cage where he could just run around and go crazy, and he had all the space in the world. But when I would come home, I would try to keep him out as much as possible. Now, I had his wings trimmed so he couldn't fly off, or if there's any kind of an accident of him getting out.
I didn't even know that you do that. I didn't know you trim birds' wings so they don't.
The covert feathers are the ones that you trim. It's like up to about 8 of them that you can usually trim.
You just like pull them out or what?
You clip them.
Okay.
You clip them, yeah. And he would hang out with me either on my shoulder all the time, or he'd be hanging out on the floor with me, like just kind of...
Like a pirate?
Like a pirate.
That's awesome.
Like a pirate. No, he was amazing. He would sit there, he'd preen my eyelashes.
What?
Like, we were so close. Like, we...
it doesn't get closer than that.
We fell in love with each other when I worked at Petco.
And that's awesome.
He was anemic as hell because of how they were dealing with him. Now, Petcos and PetSmarts can be really fucking terrible.
I worked on
that for both sides, from Petco to the vet side of it.
Do you think this is like a trend that's happening for like your places you work or your surroundings, that there's like always some sort of like malfunction that's
Anytime
happening?
Anytime you ever deal with a being that can't... basically, anytime there's a being that you can control, there's always some sort of questionable thing that's going on.
Yeah.
Unless it's like a reserve or a foundation that's very, you know, I can't find the word that I'm looking for. But like, backed up, basically.
Yeah.
You know? But even with, I even have problem with zoos, depending. Certain zoos are good, but a lot of them are kind of bad, especially if you have to pay to get in.
Yeah.
Some of that's like, if I don't know. I'm very mixed with zoos.
That's like a circus sort of situation.
Yeah, and circuses, that's a whole other story. Yeah.
A mix with zoos, too, because like on one hand, it's really cool for kids. Like they can be able to see what an elephant looks like. Where else would they go?
You know? Yeah.
Besides a book or some, or internet or whatever.
Absolutely.
But it's cool to see them in person, but then like knowing that you're like, eh.
Like, let's talk about like the National Zoo. Like, I'm very impressed with the fact that they've like expanded the elephant habitat like almost three times the size of what it used to be, which is awesome
because
they need that. It does make me sad to see the cheetahs in their enclosure because it's like, wow, world's fastest animal. Couldn't start from one side of the cage to the other to really get up to its full speed. But it's still a big enclosure. At least they're being taken care of. And I think that they also sometimes change them out and they'll go to reserve in like West Virginia.
Oh, okay.
I think that's where a lot of like the recent babies went.
Like it's like a vacation for them?
Almost, maybe. I haven't done enough research to fully know on that. But like if you go into the ape house, my heart just melts.
Why? They just sit there?
And they just sit there and they look so sad. There's one orangutan that's named Lucy and she's really sweet. And like she apparently loves to watch humans and what they do. Probably because she wants to go do things.
Yeah.
But like if you open up your purse, she'll like look inside. If you put on chapstick, she'll make the little like lip smacking.
Yeah, that's cute.
It's super cute, but it's like their enclosures are kind of small. I mean, they do have the opportunity to be able to go up into like this kind of like ladder thing that's surrounded by a cage. They can walk up and then go to a different side of the entire zoo.
Yeah,
which that's neat. But it's like when you really look at it, it's like this isn't what they should have. It's not enough.
It's also sort of like, well, there's that toss up. It's like, well, it's either you have this or you actually go visit them in the wild.
Yeah, which and that's a whole nother.
Yeah, and also not many people
die.
Can afford to do that.
you can't afford to do that.
Yeah, so I mean, there's...
And then if you have people who are not, who don't understand these animals truly, you could be in a lot of danger.
Yeah.
Like that Game of Thrones editor that just like rolled down her window on a safari.
For real?
Yeah, and then like a lioness like killed her.
Are you serious?
Yeah. But they were signage everywhere, like, don't roll down your window.
Hey, don't be an idiot.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, whenever she's curious, she wanted to see it up close, but
I mean, maybe she's been watching a little too much Lion Whisperer, but it's like, at least he knows what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know at Maymount, which isn't necessarily a zoo, but that's in Richmond, Virginia. It's like a park, and they have some animals. Not very many, but some. I know their bird sanctuary area is very little. Like, they're basically just standing on a little branch. Like, it's not like they can fly, but they're injured. So, like, part of me was like, well, they're injured. At least they're, like, they make it sound like they're being taken care of, but it's also, like, they can't go anywhere.
Yeah. It makes it tough. Like, one of the things that annoys me is at Busch Gardens, they have, like, a bunch of that kind of stuff, and it's all for show. Like, they have a lory habitat, which is, a lory is what I had.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, softbills are very, very hard to keep in a domestic kind of situation. They eat nectar and fruit. And even though you think that you have developed the best diet for that pet, even with like the best avian doctor pretty much in the nation, something else can still creep in. It's not as much like other parrots where that's been followed a lot more closely and researched over a longer period of time because they've been more in, you know, with humans as pets for a longer period. But like the lories that are kept down in like Busch Gardens, I mean, they just let anybody feed them. And it's like, God, they're all going to get fat.
Yeah.
They're all going to get fat and die at like 7 years old. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Even like feeding geese, I read that that's bad if you just bring in like your old bread or whatever.
Bread is really bad for birds.
Super bad for them.
Super bad.
I mean, bread can be really bad for humans too.
Yeah. Just
feeding them too many breads.
But yeah, I mean, but as a kid, I have like fond memories of like going to the park.
And it's like, you can still go and feed them. Just research what is actually okay for them and bring that. But yeah, bread's not so good.
No.
So with just your life with the animals, how far, if you could, how far would you take it? Would you actually want to go out to, like, I don't know, what do you do? Go to Africa?
If I didn't get sick when I did, which was when I was in school, unfortunately, I can't work full-time to support myself and do school like that. it's just I don't have the ability to, and the stress levels too. It also it makes it difficult. But if had that,
but not, you could.
If that had not happened, I would have gone into conservation. I would rather be on the field over in Africa right now. That's what 100%. I'd give up everything to do that.
Because that seems like to me that's where there's like an adventure aspect to that too. Because you get to go, you get
there
to be
is,
in the wild.
But there's this awe of just like these are these animals in their natural habitat, like. We are only what on top of the food chain because we've figured out how to make guns and stuff like that. It's like, but truly, these are the kings of the animal kingdom. Like yeah. This is incredible. You need to have mutual respect with any animal. I truly believe that. Like, but yeah, that's what I ideally would love to do.
Is that if you get better? Would that be something?
If there was a cure, however, I'm not.
What if the cure is over there? You're like,
I'd probably come into a lot more problems just having to get all the vaccinations and what have you to go over
that,
there.
You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of. You ever see Prometheus?
Yes.
Remember, isn't that what the Whalen? What was the name? The main the Whalen Corp. Remember, like he like actually like did the. They set up the whole operation for him to find a cure for his his like thing.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what's gonna happen in the future. You're gonna develop this whole new technology that's gonna send you over there.
But also you gotta have money too.
I mean, that's something that can come to you. People can just throw it. You can start a Kickstarter.
Actually it happened once. Like, I had money thrown at me.
Really? Did you catch it?
I was in the comic shop and I was just working at the computer and this dude comes in and he's like circling around. And first off, this was last year, so in the middle of summer.
Circling around. What?
Circling around like just in the store.
Oh, okay. Not like
but
circling
he was, like,
around
very
you.
No. All right. He was very sketchy looking. And he had like a winter beanie on with like a big giant sweatshirt and sweatpants. And it was like the middle of the summer. It was like, how? What? And he walked by me and he threw $1,000 in my face.
What?
What?
In 20s.
Just like.
Just threw it in literally my face. I was like, what the mother? What?
That wasn't even like a make just, it rain type like, of thing. That's
not
just like
even
a,
mother, not even make it rain. Yeah. Out of nowhere.
This is like, I hate you. Take this.
A little bit, but he didn't even make eye contact with me. Nothing.
It was $1,000?
$1,000.
How did you know it was $1,000? Well, instantly were you like, well, $1,000.
Well, okay. I'll get to it. So Jake's just like, what the fuck is going on?
Was this when Jake had a full beard?
I mean, probably. But so he, the guy took a Jake hat from Adventure Time.
Yeah.
And he walks out. And Jake goes out to talk to him. He's like, dude, like, what are you doing? Like, you have to pay for that. Like, why don't we do a normal transaction back there? Let me give you your money back.
Let
like,
me scan it.
And he's like, I just wanted this hat. And he's like, okay, well, let's go do this. And so Jake takes the hat and he starts walking back and the guy leaves. And so we end up calling the cops. Because,
oh
like, we're just like, we don't know. Like, this guy was probably on something.
What time of day was this?
Middle of the day. On, like, a Sunday, geez. Probably.
Oh, God.
And, yeah, like, 3 o'clock or something. It wasn't, like, at night. It wasn't anything weird, like, around a Friday or anything. It was, like, either a Monday or middle of the week in the middle of the day. And we call the cops because we're just like, what the hell? Like, we don't know what to do. This guy is probably a druggie. This is probably his drug money. And they're just like,
This is blood money?
Well, technically, it's abandoned property. Safest thing and probably the best thing to do would be to hold on to it for a week, see if the guy comes back so you can give it back to him and just avoid any trouble. And we're like, okay, that's fair. And then he's like, you know, if they don't come back, it's abandoned property.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it, but it's abandoned property. And we're like,
it's up to you or Jake to decide how to divvy it up.
So we waited a week. Well, I told my boss, obviously.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we gave like 300 to the store and then Jake and I split the rest.
Ooh.
So, I mean, I got to get, 350 bucks out of it.
That's a damn good take out of that then.
It makes you wonder, like, it's kind of crazy. Like, nobody came. $1,000.
So, Camille,
like
you got paid. You got paid $350 to get money thrown in your face. That's really what happened.
Apparently,
so someone can throw money in your face.
Wait, okay.
So have you
seen this guy around?
Never.
But did you get a good look at his face? Because I know he's wearing the beanie.
No, I did not get a good look. He was shorter. He wasn't exactly very tall. Maybe like 5'8", maybe.
Do you think he's trying to do some type of like? I hate to say it like this, but like an art project or like a human like.
I don't think
love project or something where he
human
just
human love project
like maybe there's a better way like you know like a kindness project where he's
totally
just
no
like
way.
He
like,
just happens
he was
to have
out
some
there.
Money
like because Jake was face to face with him and he was just fucking out there.
Maybe he was like, have you seen Breaking Bad?
First six episodes. It was just horribly depressing that I decided.
Okay, well, maybe he was like some type of drug dealer that like felt guilty about the money that he got, or and was just like, I need to get rid of it, and I love comics, but I'll give it to
people were searching him out, and he didn't want to be found with the money.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That is blood money.
This could
money.
Be a whole thing. I don't know.
Oh, my God. That's like a... awesome story,
it's
though.
Fascinating,
like, I want to know.
But it doesn't go anywhere, which is the sad
yeah.
part.
Well,
like, I want to know
just like
why
we can speculate.
Happened.
Maybe you're just, and you're in the middle of the story right now. It's going to come back like at a certain point. Maybe he's going to come back and be like...
wanting
do,
his money
do you remember
back.
Do you remember me or like
oh my god that's scary though or like
becomes,
I would be,
that
would
be terrifying
what if it becomes yeah. like an annual thing where it's like every 2 years someone just comes and randomly throws money in your face
I'm okay
and,
with
and
that
and you're like is this just gonna keep happening every year
I mean I could totally use it after Lucy
it's no. crazy but haven't you heard about like I've heard these stories of people in like the Starbucks drive through and they're like okay I'll buy you know
the,
my
like
latte
me.
And then the people behind me too and I'm like yeah. like I always hear about that and I'm always like who does that?
Like, rich people who actually have hearts.
But also you're buying a coffee for the person behind you that's probably like some other well-to-do suburban person. You know,
maybe,
like...
maybe if like, you're at Starbucks first thing in the morning.
Yeah. But it's like whatever the pay it forward like mode.
The motion. Only thing that gets me is like don't... I hope folks don't do those things just so that they feel comfortable later on that they've given and that they'll have a good afterlife.
Yeah.
Like, if that's the reason why you're doing it, then you're a fucking cunt.
Then that's like, not like a real reason. That's
no.
like a,
so crazy.
That's bribery.
No, you're basically setting yourself up for your selfishness so that you have a good life after this. And
yeah.
It's just like,
yeah.
Go fuck yourself.
Like occasionally
well, that's
I
what
see
they all,
like,
when anyone donates money, that's pretty much majority of what that is, isn't it?
I see people's like
I hope
posts
not.
Online.
Oh, I guarantee
they're
it's
like
probably
that.
At least
like,
65%.
I've donated to three different foundations this month and I don't have money, first off.
Well,
being
see,
sick
I,
takes everything away.
Well, I see maybe that's what it is. I feel like that's what when you donate something it's like the ratio based off of like how much you're given. I don't know, there's a whole thing.
I also don't believe in an afterlife, so you know I'm not a religious person, so.
What about a before life? Do you remember what about that?
I don't
know. Current life or maybe we're
currently I'm open to the idea of reincarnation just being just energy balls.
Mm-hmm.
Just existing because I don't necessarily
in this
think
world
that we can
like we would
maybe
just be
not.
Flying
it
around.
It could be interdimensional. Maybe it's somewhere else.
It'd be cool if it was interdimensional.
It's recycling bodies of energy in certain life forms wherever they may be, whether they be in this galaxy or across the fucking universe.
That's what I feel like would be more interesting. Say if you do die, you just go into the next planet that we're, of course, we can't reach with our own technology, but that's why we can't, because
like,
we're just being sent there by dying.
Like, I'm not religious, but I don't believe that we, like, our energy or our entities just end.
Can't just be a waste like that, right?
Yeah.
Unless we're all just experiments.
Like, maybe we won't all be, like, we won't have the humanistic, you know, parts of us. You know, it's just basically, like, that ball of, like, this is the good part of that whatever, and there's some bad in it, or whatever the mix is, and then just kind of
but you
recycling
gotta take, you gotta take the good with the bad, though, don't you?
I mean, everyone's got good and bad.
You have to. You got to have.
No,
you know, you can't just have one.
There's got to be a balance in some way.
Yeah, a recipe only has multiple pieces, not just one steak. It's just
yeah.
like seasoning and stuff like that too.
Vegetables.
Okay. Yeah.
Vegetables.
Is that the only time? Was that one of the freakiest moments you've ever had, like at the shop, or hasn't there been anything?
It really creeped. Oh God. You want like weird things in the shop?
I don't know
oh,
what
boy.
I want. I just want to hear
you
a good story.
Up a whole other
so,
thing.
And this is—I don't even know how to say this without sounding not politically correct. And I
what?
Fuck.
This is the wrong show for that.
So we had
politically correct.
We had a gentleman who was basically special needs, very tall. He was probably like 6'6", 6'7". Like I'm telling you, like huge. And he was just an overall big dude.
And his name was Batista. No,
he's coming to the shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His name
he signed a Guardians
Dave
book
Batista.
For me, which was so nice.
Yeah.
We're friends with his manager's wife.
There you
we
go.
Love her. No, but this guy, he would always come in asking for Star Trek comics. We'd always show him where they were and, you know, try to help him out, you know,
yeah.
because he was interested in... You just help people out.
Yeah.
That's all there is to
That's
it.
That's what you're there for.
Yeah. And, like, he talked to us here and there, and, you know, it was what it was. But there was one day where it was really weird, and I really didn't know how to handle it because it was just, like, it's going to take so much work to explain why not. He was like, can I have a picture with you? And it was just very strange, very strange. But I was like,
yeah.
in order to, like, try to communicate
Make him happy.
With him to understand why it was a problem, it was going to take so much to do that.
What was,
so I was just
did
like,
you attempt? Like, what was the short version of like, not today?
Well,
was that just
because he was very, very persistent
oh, okay.
in general.
Mm-hmm. Did he have
a person,
did he have a crush? Is that what it was?
I guess that's what it was, but he couldn't understand things the way that we do. So it was just weird. So I was just like, yeah, sure, whatever, just make it, you know, kind of quick. Just, like, quickly take a picture, that's whatever.
That's a celebrity yeah. move right there.
But, like, it is what it is kind yeah. of thing, because it was going to be way too much trouble to try to get him to understand why it was a problem.
Yeah.
And so we're just like, okay, whatever. And then he wouldn't let me go.
Oh, okay.
And he tried to kiss me.
What?
And ooh. I freaked the fuck out. And like, I was like, no!
Right after the
get
photo?
Off.
Right
yeah.
after the photo?
Yeah. Right like, after the photo.
Just went for the move right,
right
there?
Right for the move.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, when he was asking for the photo, I was already picturing him being, like, showing people, like, this is my girlfriend, you know?
Like, I'm like, so, I don't care, whatever, you know?
Whatever
just,
he
like,
wants to do.
But it was going to be like, no, Thomas, you can't do that, you know? It's not okay.
It's inappropriate.
Yeah, it's inappropriate. And, like, he was just hard to get through a lot when we talked to him about other things, just in general from the past that we had known him.
Yeah.
So it was just like, okay, whatever, just do it really quickly. Yeah. You know, what's the worst? The freaking picture. Okay, whatever. Yeah. And then that happened, and then we had to kick him out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, kick him out.
Who was in charge of that, of the kicking?
Our boss at the time.
Oh, okay.
And it...
So you had to, like, go... You had to turn around and be like...
Yeah, it's like... It's one thing to take a picture with someone. It's another thing to, like, touch or kiss them.
Exactly.
You know?
And he was huge. And it was like kind of like that Of Mice and Men thing where he's holding the puppy and he squeezes too hard and it could die. You know, it was just like a very, like, you're a huge dude. You scare me. Like, get away.
And this is the rogue Camille?
I guess, yeah.
Okay. Rogue hair Camille.
I don't think that mattered, though.
I'm just checking.
But so then he would keep coming in the shop. We had to keep telling him no. And then finally his father came in. He's like, you guys have known him for years. How can you do this? Blah, blah, blah. I was like, this is a safety problem, dude. Yeah. Like, how do you not understand this? Like, the only way he's allowed to come back in is if you're here to escort him in. That's fine. He can come in that way, but no other way. We just don't feel safe. And... he never has come back in since, but I've run into him in the shopping mall at times, and like he's been behind me at a Giant, like when I'm buying something.
Yeah.
I'm like shaking, trying to put my shit through, like trying to get out. Cause like, he's like, can I come back in yet? Come on, I'm sorry. And it's just like, I don't know how to tell you like why this is a problem, but no, you cannot come back. Like,
so do you have to tell?
Like, we've tried to explain why it's a problem. Like, Thomas, you cannot do that. You cannot come back. I'm sorry. Unless your father is with you, you can't come back.
Was it sort of something where you place the power level to someone above? You're like, no, my boss says you can't, or it's just you saying
no,
like,
I mean, we all said it.
Okay.
Like, everybody. It was a united front of just, like, weird.
Well, I feel like for one thing.
But it's, like, a hard thing.
Certain people just get attached in the wrong way.
Yeah.
And it is
But when
hard.
You're dealing with someone who has those kind of problems, it's really hard to communicate to get the point across.
Yeah. Did the father understand after you explained it to him? Or was that hard to
do? Was he dealing with the same thing?
He felt like we were banishing
you
him.
Betrayed
for,
him?
For Yeah. It felt he felt like that. I don't
that's
think
like
he
his home?
Even understood why that was a problem.
Was he there to take... Who took the photo?
Coworker.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like his father.
Like, thinking back, I'm like, I'm a fucking idiot. I shouldn't even allowed that.
Yeah.
But it was like, at the time,
but
though,
you were trying to, like, please him and make him happy. For
yeah.
Whatever that was. And
we seriously didn't expect anything crazy like that.
Yeah.
We thought, just give it to him, whatever. It's all in good nature. Yeah. Just call it
I've
a
never
day.
Had, like, a kiss like that or anything, but, like, I've had, like, a couple people that I felt like I've barely met that wanted to take a picture, and I'm like, okay.
Like, that's more weird.
But,
because, like, they're conscious, able to understand, like, what is happening. They have a normal sense of things, you know? Like, and I've had that, too, where people have tried to do that and just, like, no. I don't know who the fuck you are. Like,
maybe if it's, like, not at a convention, I'll just be like, no.
Yeah. And even conventions, like, I've had people, like, want to take pictures just because of my tattoos, and I'm like...
People take pictures everywhere, though. Like, even with the cosplay and stuff, because I know you do cosplay, so people always want pictures.
I've walked very far away from it lately.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. I won't cosplay in the shop anymore, that's for sure.
Is there a reason for that?
Yeah. One of the free comic book days, one of our subscribers, he has some sort of special needs stuff, too, and... He shared the album with us on Facebook, and the amount of ass shots there were of my ass in the Black Widow outfit, I was like, okay, well, that's ruined.
Yeah, you're
never
like,
doing this again.
Yeah.
And it's sad because, like, you have little girls who want to take pictures with you, and, like, they think it's the most, like, coolest, awesomest thing, and you're just like, and you can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
You just can't. Like,
it is sad because people abuse the power of the camera to, like, focus on something that they shouldn't be focusing on. It's like, just focus on my outfit.
I mean,
you don't have to focus on...
So ever since I've been separating any kind of cosplay or any, like, modeling stuff just completely away from the business, I don't want any of that. I don't want people to come in because of that. Like, it's too weird.
It's funny because you go to conventions and, like, there legit is just guys that just take photos of people's ass.
I've been groped at conventions.
Really?
In, of all fucking costumes, Rogue. And it was the first costume. It was the first con I ever did.
Really?
I'm surprised I didn't just shut it all down then.
Yeah.
Baltimore 2012.
Okay.
Yeah, but
they've been taking a lot of action now to fight against it,
which is finally fantastic. Even though I got like,
it's terrible though. People shouldn't even think that that's acceptable.
Well, I got so angry, like I was seriously about to turn on fucking just throw my fist in somebody's face.
Was it in a crowded situation or was it like?
Well, I turned around and there was a huge crowd, so I had no idea what to punch, and I was shaking with rage, just rage, just so
because they like assaulted your personal bubble, you know.
Yeah, your entire personal bubble. It's like, how dare you think that you have any obligation to do that or any, like, okay permittance to do that? Because, like, fuck off.
Because I feel like it's, like, to me, it's sort of similar, like, when you get, like, a, when you get, like, a speeding ticket, now you're always looking out for cops, like, that are going to get you. But now it's, like, you, it's, like, you're in a convention with a just a crowd. Now you feel like anyone can do that.
And, I mean, I did cosplay for a while, and I kept up with it, and I don't know. It just, over time, the more and more that I saw of the community, not everyone, because I've met some of the most fantastic people through cosplay, but unfortunately, a good part of the community is this, like, high school kind of demeanor of, like, oh, well, I made all mine by hand, and I'm so much better than you, and
I mean, it's pretty
I'm
much
gonna bully you because you didn't do it right, or you're black and you should be white, or something like that, and it's like, go fuck yourselves! We're all fucking nerds! This should be a safe haven! If anyone's been... And it's like, why are we bringing bullying here? We've all been bullied. This is a fucking safe haven.
Well, I feel like that's what happens when it stops actually being an outsider niche. It starts, now it's a community thing.
Now it's like a mainstream thing too.
Well, now it's mainstream.
But the other thing is, okay, so I want to bring up this chick that I saw at New York Comic Con. She was around where the panels were, so it wasn't like the main hall. But I don't know what character she was. Or any, I don't, maybe Joe knows, but basically her,
I don't know.
Her whole, okay, so she had like a long ponytail that went way down like past her,
some sort of
past
manga,
her,
anime
past her
something.
Butt or something, but her whole ass was like straight up showing. And it wasn't like to the point where like, first of all, I don't really care at looking at everybody's ass, but if it's like that, then I'm obviously going to be like, whoa, because you see that much skin.
You can't help but
there,
not look.
And then I looked and and it wasn't just me. It was like everybody looking, even like the security guards that worked at Javits, they were like freaking out. They're like, damn, look at that girl.
They're like, yo, Jimmy, check out this shit. Like,
dude, some of those security people aren't really very helpful.
Yeah,
some
they
of
were not actually, helpful at all.
At least 85% of the security that I dealt with over in New York is pieces of shit.
Shit, I remember when I walked into New York Comic Con and one of the guy takes like my badge or whatever and he's just like, thank the mama that had you. And I was just like, are you fucking serious?
Not right.
What?
Jesus Christ. Even from security.
Yeah.
That's not right at all.
That's not security.
But I have to say, this chick, like, I wasn't like infuriated or anything, but I will always remember this moment because I was like, first of all, I was like, that takes guts to like walk around like that because it was pretty much naked with like a ponytail covering your butthole. Yeah.
Jesus.
Like,
yeah.
And,
and I was like, are they going to the competition or are they part of that? But they're not. They're just,
but
you know?
I was like, dude, like, it's one thing to like a lot of the superhero outfits, whatever, are provocative. They're skin tight. Like, they're fighters, you know, whatever. That's what they wear. Like, mm-hmm. They're not going to wear baggy clothes necessarily. But, and that's fine. And like a lot of the like really authentic people, like Power Girl, for instance, like she has big boobs and like they're visible, you know, like,
oh, yeah.
Like they're out there, and like
she's
that
not from anywhere, so she has to represent that by showing her tits in a circle. Sorry, go on.
In a circle, it's a window.
Yeah, it's a window. But you know, like this, but this back to this chick, I was just like, oh my god, like you're wearing this like in public in front of like millions of people at New York Comic Con, and I was like, I don't want to say I was offended, but I was just like, that takes guts to like wear that.
Yeah.
But then also on top of it, I was just like, I don't know what character you are, but like in a way, like I know that some people are like, well, they asked for it, and I was like, to
see,
me
I hate
like
that
with
way
that,
of thinking too.
I hate that way of thinking too, but in my head I was like, you gotta know what you're getting
but
into when
certain,
you're not wearing anything.
There's a certain boundary though if you're going to actually go out and do this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, of course I hate the whole idea of like, well, you're asking for it, you're doing it, but at the same point, like, how about you be a fucking gentleman for once and not do that? But
I don't think that the guys are right by saying
you have to be aware of what you're doing, because like I would never.
It's just too much.
You're just opening it up for,
it's like, where's that line though? Because like, yeah, you could be like, whatever,
her
little bit sexier.
Yeah, I guess. That's what it was.
But Joe, do you remember that girl? Like, I don't know what character she was.
I remember that girl. All I saw was just an ass walking around.
It was like straight up. It was a
nice ass.
It was like, it wasn't offending. It looked good. Her body looked great.
Someone might have been offended with it. They're like, wow.
I mean, if I had a young kid, though, I wouldn't want my daughter or son looking at that. And there's no way that they would probably laugh at it and be like, oh, but, you know, like, whatever. But, like, I wouldn't want them to see it. It's just too early for them to see that.
It's too much. It's just too much.
It's crazy. But even the girls that are painted,
Baltimore, who was like Miss Marvel 1 year, I don't know if it was 2012 or 13, but she's all painted and she has pasties on. I'm like, when you're walking around, your boobs are jiggling like crazy. Like,
yeah.
Is this not like, really? You're really going out like this?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I hate the whole, like, you're asking for it, but at the same time, like...
They are asking for it, though.
You're
kind of
making
attention trouble
in a weird way.
They're
like,
definitely making trouble.
You're stirring shit up.
So I'm not going to lie, because you know what? That's...
People can't control themselves, so I'm not going to put myself in that position where I could be taken advantage of because other people can't control themselves.
Yeah.
It's not so much, like, it's your fault for wearing it, but it's like, no, everyone else is the problem. That's why you don't wear it.
I mean, by association, that's what happens. If everyone's thinking like, oh, that's okay, because that's that. They just see one person that's like that.
It's
they think
funny,
everyone's
of all
like
the
that.
Costumes I've done, the one that doesn't get like any attention or any problems is the one where I'm like showing the most. It's Typhoid Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And no one fucking knows who it is. So it's like, I almost
then
don't have
Daredevil,
to deal with
what the hell?
Oh, at New York, I went behind a random Daredevil, like the only one I saw. Of course, this was before the series. We're going to see everybody as Daredevil now.
Yeah.
But he was... This Daredevil, I took one of my knives and I put it around his neck and had like this really goofy smile. And he looked at me so confused. And I was like, motherfucker, come on. Come on. And it was like the only people who knew who I was the people in Artist Alley.
Yeah.
That was it.
I mean, that should also tell you about like really the fans that we're getting now in the genre is like, okay, you just have like the face value of
like,
we love
superheroes.
We have the
artistic people who just want to do like creative stuff. And that's cool.
Yeah.
They want to make stuff. Then you get the people who are like, oh, I could totally pull that off. Let's totally do that. And, like, they don't even know. Like, they could be standing right next to the creator, and they have no idea that they even created that person's character.
Well, that's why there's part of me that's saying that, like, you know, because you have the pinup, right? You have the classic pinup from back in the day. I feel like even cosplay today is what, like, that new gentrification of what pinups are.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because that's what it's transitioned into, basically because the type of people that are now doing it.
Yeah.
Who can be models. And
that
now,
makes sense.
Instead of just dressing up like, you know,
it's
whatever.
Not like the weird nerd's haven anymore. Like you said, it's all, you know, it's mainstream.
Yeah. And another thing is that it, like, I guess the ignorance isn't just at cosplayers, too. Like,
no.
For example, I remember hearing on another podcast, Scott Kurtz was talking about how he had, like, these plushy dolls at San Diego Comic-Con. And he was actually there. And he was, and, like, I guess his assistant, somebody bought one of the plushies. They're like, I love this, like, whatever, like, this is great. And then the assistant was like, oh, do you want to meet the creator? He's right over here. He can, you know, sign it for you or whatever. I don't know. I don't know how you would sign a plushie. But anyway, you could sign the tag or something. But anyway, but they're like, you can meet him. And then they're just like, no, it's okay. I just want the plushie. And then like Scott Kurtz was just like, okay. Then he's like, that's when he was like, why should I even be at San Diego Comic-Con anymore? So now I think he just has some other person repping him there.
Yeah,
and he's like,
cares.
Yeah, it's like, but that's a creator too.
That's
it's
insane.
Like, it's crazy because that's how people get treated sometimes. But on the other hand, you have really good fans sometimes that like, want to see you and they totally support
and
you.
And don't get me wrong, I like the idea of like, I like a lot of cosplayers, I really do. And then I also like, you know, that it has gotten more acceptance in ways.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's pulled more people into the shop that may not have been into comics other than because of the movies.
Yeah.
So it's fun to kind of show them around and like get them started. Like the one thing I can't stand in comic shops is when people like basically put you down because you don't know everything.
Yeah.
Like, and even at cons, you don't have to know everything, but at least be excited for like the people who made all this really happen.
I remember,
you know, like the actual creators are the ones who deserve all the credit.
I remember being at like Small Press Expo one of my first years and being put down because I didn't know this, like an underground book specific issue and a certain artist, and I'm like, dude, this is as underground as it's probably gonna get. I'm really, even like as a filmmaker, it's like I can't watch every single movie and understand every dialogue ever. I just like what I like, and I'm only gonna retain that information. Get off my back.
I have that with you know, managing the shop too. And I'll be honest, like I've almost been there for 3 years, and at first your credibility, and this is sad from being a female, isn't really taken into account.
Yeah.
You know, and that's annoying. But finally, over time, they start to realize, oh my God, she actually reads this stuff. Oh my God, she actually has good recommendations. Like, and then they treat you different.
But was there a certain point where you had to like sort of prove it? You're just like, listen, I know who Matt Murdock
100%
is. 100%
you have to prove it. Because, and I've had people flat out even ask me, like, do you even read this? Blah, 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 blah. Or like,
was that a girl that said that? Or was
no,
that a
I don't
guy?
Know why I give everybody I don't like a valley girl
voice.
Damn,
was
but
that
apparently
like...
that's what they keep getting. But like, we even had a guy just like probably 3 weeks ago come in and like, it's me and two other girls that work in the shop.
Yeah.
And just like, I don't mean to sound that way, but I'm just really surprised that three very attractive girls work in a comic shop. Like, do you guys actually read comics? Oh, did you know that we can vote too?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, it's just, it gets...
Well, how old, do you know, I mean, with that... Unless we know specifically, how old is that person? Or is it like a younger, older person?
Middle age.
See, that might be the thing, too. Because, you know, back then, like, girls would
maybe,
kill guys for reading comics.
What about Gamergate and all that shit, though? That's younger people.
There is that. Yeah, that's true.
So I think it's just all over. And if people can find a target that they can swing at, they'll do it. It doesn't really matter what the topic is or who's involved or the age or gender. If there's some sort of, if there's a person who has that trait in them to go after and troll and bully, they're going to do it no matter what.
I feel like insecure people, in a way, they're going to try to find a way to make themselves feel good.
Yes.
No matter what it is. It could
and
be about meat,
point, like,
you know?
I don't care about proving anything anymore and I don't know everything.
And why do you
and
have to prove? Why do you have to prove anything, really?
Exactly. It's like, fuck it. At this point, it's like, whatever. Like, I have the people who know me, and most of them, you know, because I've been there for 3 years, like, really trust me and so forth. But, like, even to this day, I still haven't read much DC.
You know,
you know what? That's okay.
I don't think there's ever been once where I've sort of, I don't know if I have, like, questioned your credibility. I actually didn't really care about that. I was just like, well, she's here. It's good enough.
It shouldn't matter. And granted, you should have some sort of credibility if you're working in a shop, because you do want knowledgeable staff who does know what they're talking about, so you can actually sell books. So you, I don't know, maybe get paid.
Yeah, yeah.
So there is that. I mean, granted, I read more Image for the most part at this point because I'm angry at Marvel, but and then I read some Marvel.
I like everything has like some weight behind it.
That's true.
I think that's totally okay, because I actually don't really read either as much, you know? I can't even tell you the Marvel book
that
I read.
It's all about cash grabs and events, and you have to read these six books to know what's happening in this one. And then if you're like Uncanny X-Men and you've been wondering what's happening over the fucking past year after the last event and you're about to reveal it, and then you fucking write yourself out of a cheap fucking time thing to revert it all. I'm like, why the fuck did I read this year?
And I see that shit. I see that shit like 2 years in advance. I always see that. And you know what ends up happening, too? It's like, well, if I was going to read it, they're just going to put it in a trade anyway. So I'll just wait.
But then you have to be careful if something major happens, like Batman 40, and it's blown up all over the goddamn...
They're going
to
spoil it. Yeah.
It's like, there's no way to not spoil things at this point.
But I believe, like, in a comic book, this is what I've just grown up knowing. If it's good, even if I know the story, I'm going to enjoy it.
If
the book
is good.
If it's a
good story, it's all that matters.
That's it.
That's the whole reason for reading. It's an escape, or it's a way to connect. You know, it's not just who's the most badass or coolest, you know, villain or superhero, or who's gonna beat who in an all-time match or yada yada.
In an all-time match.
Fucking like, put your egos away. Like, let's just have good stories. Like
the all-time match.
I feel like, but here's the thing though. It's everything's sort of similar too, because I bet you're gonna run into people that are gonna challenge your credibility if you're into music. Or of course,
anywhere.
Even like vegetarians, other vegetarians might even challenge you.
Oh,
like,
God,
really,
vegans,
do you,
man?
They're
they
like,
kind
well,
of
you
scare
still
me.
Eat eggs.
I'll be honest,
I'm better than you.
But they're having them anyway. I sourced it. I swear.
So who would win?
Oh God.
Weather Wizard or Storm?
Oh yeah.
I had to illustrate that.
I'll be honest. Who's Weather Wizard?
That's what I asked.
Thank you.
Because I got that assignment, and I didn't know who Weather Wizard was, I was like, "What am I supposed to draw?"
Weather Wizard.
I don't know who he was.
He's a Flash villain.
Flash. Okay, that's the DC knowledge.
But see, here's the thing, though.
I didn't know either.
Here's the thing. I am really like.
Wait, I mean, he showed up in this last season, though.
I don't watch.
I have you on that. No.
No, but like, a lot of the stuff, my only real education on anything DC that's not associated with Grant Morrison is anything that Bruce Timm did, like the animated series
are
stuff.
Are you reading the new JLA Gods and Monsters?
Yeah, you read them all.
Okay. Have you seen it?
Yeah,
is
I bought
it. Good?
It. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, then again, it's me. I can't tell you if it's good or bad. I can tell you if I enjoyed it.
But, you know, one thing really shows if somebody's passionate about it, that gives you more incentive to want to check it out.
I didn't watch all, like, because I believe, like, Bruce Timm, I'm a massive fan. He, like, pretty much crafted even, like, his style and his writing crafted, like, what I did. Because I grew up on Batman animated series, anything he did. So, pretty much since I knew he wasn't really involved with the other animated cartoons, the ones before this, I didn't really watch them. Because I'm like, it's just a shell. Or it's a, just like, you know, it's cashing in a little bit. But whatever.
Yeah.
But,
although I will say a lot of DC's animated movies, a lot of them have done well. Although I haven't seen the last few. I haven't seen the Wonder Woman one, and I haven't seen Throne of Atlantis.
Well, that had nothing to do with Bruce Timm, so I didn't even watch those. Yeah. But you notice the way they brand this
Bruce
one.
Bruce Timm was in the Wonder Woman one.
Was that?
Remember we went to that panel at New York.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's
like
way
a female
back.
Director.
Huh.
But Bruce Timm was involved.
Yeah.
He wasn't like the main dude, but they're I guess he passed the torch to her.
I think they're coming out this week. Yeah, this week. But they're doing a bunch of the DVD versions of like comics, and they're selling it with like the trade.
Oh, okay.
Which is pretty interesting. But actually the Wonder Woman one is supposed to be George Perez's run, and then it's that new animated movie they just did, so...
That's cool.
I've been trying to find more Wonder Woman because, again, I'm not a huge DC person, but I read Al Azzarello's run. I'm still waiting to finish it because DC can't get their fucking trades out soon enough. But I absolutely love how dark it is and how much it deals with like the gods and everything. So like, I've been trying to find other stuff.
I mean, I feel like that's what DC's like when you look at, because Marvel has, everyone has like their tone. I feel like they're different, their color, so to speak. DC touches on that more. But there's always going to be that battle between Marvel and DC. And, you know, either way, I'm a creator I follow creators. So.
Me too. And a lot of it's like, I just feel like all the Marvel characters have been a little bit more relatable over the years.
But here's my problem is I'll be done with the Marvel book like in 5 minutes.
And it costs you like
$5. Yeah, and I was like, well,
a bajillion dollars.
That was a way. You know what I mean? I really hate that.
$1 per minute.
I mean, really despise that.
Image has it right. First trade, $10.
Yeah.
Even if it's huge. Like low. Oh my God, that was a massive 6-issue book, and it was $10. Amazing.
How do you think they're able to do that?
I should know because I have a good friend who works at Image.
Yeah.
But
there
must
be some type of.
It's all creator owned. There's no corporate over them. There's nothing like that. Like they get the money. Image is basically a printing company.
Yeah.
That's all they are. It's nothing like DC or Marvel. It's just that they get the things they need to print and they try to advertise things in certain ways. But really, it's mostly the creators that are doing everything. So.
And that's, I feel like that is what the spirit of Image is. That's
what the spirit of what comics should be, is storytelling again.
Storytelling should be character and storytelling, you know?
But it's all events now. And it's like, I'm really like annoyed with Secret Wars. Like I want to like it and I want to be like all excited for it. But the fact that we're doing this again.
I gave it like 2 issues
with Marvel,
and I was done.
Like I read the first 2. I haven't read 3 or 4 because we ran out of 3 quickly. But, there are a few books I'm reading that are side stories that, like, Where Monsters Dwell by Garth Ennis. That has been a really fun, like, old kind of 30s pulpy book, which is so heavy on making the dude such a shithead. And he ends up, like, on an Amazon island, and he thinks it's great until it's just not. And there are, like, dinosaurs in it, and it doesn't feel like a Marvel book, and it's, like, the art's fantastic. But then I read everything to, like, Little Marvel.
No, I mean,
Avengers versus X-Men, which is just amazing because of what it is.
you've seen my range, and it's always amazing when it goes from like, you know, like young adult, then I have crossed. In the same pile. And people be like, are you reading Crossed? Why?
Now, I've never read Crossed, but I have certainly looked in it many a time.
And it's very disturbing, right?
I know it's Garth Ennis, so that's the reason, at least the beginning.
Beginning is, but there's also David Lapham who does Straight Bullets, and that's why I was mainly reading.
Doesn't he also do,
The Strain and, no, not Chew. He was doing
who's doing Chew, and then who wrote the terrible arc of Cyclops after Rucka?
I have no idea.
He's an asshole.
I have no idea.
He makes me angry. I'm not as angry as Mark Wade though. Mark Wade is my like the top of my shit list right now.
But like I don't know. I feel like
and he's the guest of honor of Baltimore.
That's all right.
I can't wait to talk to
I've
him.
I've seen him many times.
No.
I really want to because I commended him like 2 years ago, and this year it's like
But is this as a person or just as what he's doing?
What he's doing.
Okay, because as a person, he can be fine.
Princess Leia was the biggest fuck you to strong women everywhere.
I haven't read it.
I'm not shitting you.
I actually didn't read it. I bought it and I didn't read it because you did that post, and I was like, maybe I'll wait. Maybe the times
like,
will change.
I need to let this cool down.
Or maybe I was like, I can't have her knowing that I read this or something like that.
It wasn't true to the character. It was very upsetting. Like, it's supposed to occur. Well, first off, she got shafted because immediately they're like, oh, it's a 5-issue miniseries while Vader and Star Wars are ongoing. Okay, whatever, fine. Vader and Star Wars, I mean, everything happens after A New Hope, and it all is supposed to connect. At least Star Wars and Vader do. They, like, go, they flip between issues, the same things that are happening. But with Leia, it's completely in its own world, and she's apparently been given a lot of shit because she's, like, everyone's saying she's ice cold because of Alderaan. She hasn't shown any emotion. Yet in the entire fucking issue, all that she is written as is this over-emotional, stereotypical, like, just ignorant, dumb little almost teenage girl. And I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ, this is my second role model. And you just threw her in the trash.
Do you think that's what they're aiming for, a teenage girl crowd?
I don't know, because I'm like, the amount of girls that I know that are going to eat it up. And then on top of that, is this because it's a fucking Disney princess now? Is that what we're doing? Because I do not want to be a part of this. See, like,
this,
at all.
This is why I say, like, everything, really, everything that you've ever said always makes me feel like I think Camille should write. That, because, like, it feels like...
Have you,
like,
ever tried to make comics?
No. No.
Have you ever thought about it?
Oh, yeah. More so on the artistic side. Before I got sick, I really wanted to do that. Like, I wanted to go to Joe Kubert School up in New Jersey. My parents wouldn't let me, blah, blah, blah.
Well, when if you're going to walk away from this show, I think you should at least try writing. I'm not going to say it's easy because that's all I do, and it's literally...
It's definitely not easy.
It's not...
No, I don't imagine it.
Because it's like putting my brain on a table and, like, hitting it with a hammer.
Yeah.
Because, like, you... First, you know, you've read a lot, so you don't want to repeat. You know, you have that battle.
Yeah.
So, but it's also like, it's one of those motivations where it's like, well, they can't do it right, so I should do it right. And then you start to realize, well, it's not that easy.
It's not that easy. I mean, granted, it's very easy to be a critic, sure. But it's like, after reading Mark Waid's other stuff, like, even early on, his Daredevil run and, like, Birthright and everything. Yeah. I mean, those are fantastic books, but even Daredevil went down the fucking shitter. 2014 yeah. Relaunch, you're gonna fucking out him? Are you serious? You're gonna ruin it all from Frank Miller? Like, fuck you, man. Like, and then you're gonna put him in battling in his suit. Oh my god. It's bad enough that on the show he can barely move in his actual new suit. Yeah. That you're gonna do it in the comics too. Although I will say the Netflix series was the best thing that Marvel's ever done.
I feel like you really, from what I got, you really love that show.
The tone, like the fact of they got the tone of the character completely correct. They humanize Kingpin, because this is not Kingpin yet. This is him turning into the Kingpin.
Yeah.
And by humanizing him, you've made it believable. Not to mention, you're still pulling from, like, the Miller source material, but you're kind of giving it the Bendis dialogue with the Maliv feel and look.
And you have the time to tell the story, too.
Yes. And you also can do new things. And the thing is, I never want, like, an exact copy of a book or a run. I never want that. I want you to do something new and different. In fact, yeah. I think the perfect example is Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
I think they just fucking killed it.
Yeah. So, Camille, where can we find you? Are you going to put out where people can comment to you back? If not, that's totally okay. Not an email, but just like, if you want people to... If not, that's fine.
I'm on Instagram as Dernhelm.
There you go.
There you go.
And, you know, we've got the amazing comic shop. We've got the Facebook. We've got some events coming up. We've got Batman Day happening on September 12th. Ooh, everything from, like, cosplay competitions to Batman Cake and other events.
Yes.
Baltimore Comic Con is going to be happening. I think it's the weekend of the 26th. So we should be up there as well.
I should remember that. I should know that, too.
Yeah. And then Comic Fest, I'm trying to get my 501st buddies to come out and have some other cosplayers, maybe Coslove, have Patrick Strange come out, something.
Sweet.
And that's going to be on Halloween. Cool. Saturday the 31st.
Well, thank you so much for being on this show.
Thank you for having me and letting me rant.
I thought you were pretty awesome. You're super awesome.
You're great.
Thank you.
So, everyone at home, this show is brought to you by Stray Productions, strayproductions.com. Check out my work also at joecarbillo.com, gostray.tumblr.com, also 1-shots.com. Carolyn, what do you have?
Oh, I have a website. It's carolynbilewski.com, and you can also check out my webcomic Curls. It's at curls-studio.com/curls. And you can check out all our tour dates on the site, and you can check out everything we have going on. So much stuff. Again, we're going to be at Baltimore, as well as Camille's going to be there, and we're going to be at Small Press Expo and New York Comic Con. So much other adventure. And we have a competing event with you on Halloween.
Oh, yeah? What do you got?
We got Cartoonist Draw Blood. And it's a blood drive with American Red Cross.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
I think we're actually doing that on Batman Day as well, on the 12th.
Awesome.
So there you go.
Yeah, we got to cross promote.
Two places to help.
That's cool.
To help people who need it.
Yeah. So, yeah, look out for all the info coming up on that. I think it's at Seekers Church. It is. I know it's at Seekers Church. Not I think. I know. It's at Seekers Church in D.C., so check out all that Cartoonist Draw Blood stuff later this October. It's still far out. It's still far out. But yeah, we have a whole bunch of fun stuff if you go to curls-studio.com and check it out.
And of course, everyone, you can find us at carolynandjoeshow.com, also on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and I don't know. It's been put other places, and I completely forget. But just pay attention. We're out there. Camille, thanks for being on the show. You're awesome.
Thank you for having me.
So, Carolyn, I'll catch you later.
Adios.
My name is... Hey, wait a minute. We got to do the ending. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Be excellent to each other. See everyone.